What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Joe Flacco, he's a veteran. He leads a locker room full of veterans. John Greco, he was a veteran. Does he think it's right by the veterans? Old Lotteman, he's a veteran. More important than all the other veterans, though. Of football, because he's an actual veteran.
I get a whole day.
Yeah. John Greco joins us right now on the fan hotline at John_Greco77. Hello, John.
Guys, good morning. Happy to be here on a Tuesday morning with you.
You sure about that?
Absolutely.
I'll ask
Absolutely.
You again here in about 10 minutes. Joe Flacco, do you like the... I imagine you like this decision. I mean, you still know some of those guys in that locker room. It hasn't been that long since you played.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised, given that, you know, you had everyone behind him, you know, battle some kind of injury throughout training camp and have limited action and limited work. I don't want to say no one really pressed Flacco, because I think no matter what, he I think this same result would have happened. But, you know, I think the writing's been on the wall when they you know, brought him back. And it was, hey, he's a veteran that's going to lead us out there. You know, think about all the things that happened in the offseason. Joel contemplating retirement, the whole Miles saga. There was some kind of quote-unquote plan. And you know, will we ever really know what that plan was or what was pitched to some of those guys, some of the other veterans in the locker room? We probably will never know that, but you know, you have a guy that's my age, you know, he's 40 years old. He's the healthiest among all the quarterbacks on the roster. And I think, you know, they're trying to relive some of that action that they had in the last playoff run with Flacco. So, you know, they know week one in September, they're going to have a guy that's going to be ready to lead the offense, that's going to be mentally sharp, crisp, going to try to deliver the ball. And I think everybody in the offensive room, offensive line, tight ends, receivers, backs, coaching staff, the defense, can feel good about, you know, having him under center week one.
Yeah, when you really take a step back, I was telling the guys about how it was 3 years ago, September 18th, that Flacco came into this stadium as the quarterback of the Jets, and the Browns looked like they were in command of that game. And remember, Nick Chubb went and walked in a touchdown instead of going down. And next thing you know, the Jets end up coming from behind and winning that game. And that was 3 years ago that Flacco was the quarterback. And if I would have told you back then that, yeah, Flacco will be the Browns quarterback on week one, 3 years from now, at the age of 40, you probably would have been surprised. So what is the likelihood you think that this actually pans out and this ends up being really good for the Browns?
The likelihood, I just think it's so uncertain, you know, with Joe Bleep being, you know, in his 17th season, you know, you question his, I'm not going to question his toughness or anything like that, but, you know, what does his durability look like? If things kind of, you know, getting off the rails for the team, you know, because they know he's not the quarterback of the future. Now, could he be the quarterback of the near-term future? Do they think that they can capture lightning in a bottle and make a run and shock a lot of people? I'm sure that's what they think. Or are they trying to just weather the storm here early with the tough schedule that we've all been talking about and we all know, and buy time to develop the young guys and try to figure out, you know, how they're going to sprinkle them in and when they're going to get their opportunity. But, you know, I think Joe gives the team the best chance to win games early. And I think Kevin Stefanski knows that, Andrew Berry knows that, and everyone has bought into that. And for all those things I just said, it allows the young guys to develop. They're not tossed right into the fire immediately. They already have enough pressure surrounding them. And you know, the focus has been on Shador, on Dylan Gabriel, Kenny Pickett, we haven't even talked about really because of the injury. But what's going to happen with him? You know, I just really have no idea what this thing's going to look like in 2 weeks. But I do know that Joe Flacco is the starter for now, at least. And, you know, they're going to try to win a divisional game. So the likelihood of him, you know, sticking around, playing the whole season, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's tough for anybody to play a full season without, you know, anything happening. So I don't want to, like I've said on your show before, I'm a little bit superstitious. I kind of want to dance around that answer. But I think he gives them the best opportunity to win, especially early on.
John Greco joining us on the show. You know, we're getting close to 15-minute land. You know, they only let us into practice for 15 minutes, and then we got to skedaddle. You've been around a lot of young guys and kind of this situation where it's like, all right, we got this older guy, but we're going to try to get this younger guy. So what do they do? Because I'm under the impression it's like, hey, we're getting ready for the week. And that means that the reps go to the first team guys and maybe some guys can run scout team. But what do they do in season to try to develop Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders? Because I assume they're going to keep both and maybe get them ready for play when their time is called.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they're going to keep both as well. It's going to be hard to hide them on practice squad. But, you know, it's difficult. You know, you can say, and I've heard coaches say to me, especially when I've been in a backup role, hey, you got to get your reps on scout team. Well, that's hard to do because you're running another team's offense. You know, it's a little bit different. It's catered for the defense. You don't want to, you know, you want to go out there and make plays and challenge them, but at the end of the day, you're servicing the defense. So you can work on your throws. You can work on your cadence. You can work on your timing, your reads, working on trying to build chemistry with some of the younger receivers. But until you get those small amount of reps that you would with the first group in the week's preparation, you know, if you're a backup quarterback, everybody's, you know, has in the back of their mind, yeah, if this guy goes down, if the starter goes down, we have to get this guy reps. Well, it's not a lot, especially in game week preparation. So it's all mental. It's all in the meeting rooms. You know, you're working with the different centers because you can't do anything unless you can get the center quarterback exchange dialed in and right. And coaches go absolutely ballistic if that's an issue when you have a quarterback change. So these young guys just really have to make it an emphasis for themselves to study that iPad or playbook. God knows what they have nowadays. But in the film room, on the field, walking, I know it sounds kind of corny and cliche, but going through the motions, acting like you're in there and doing all the mental reps that you can, because when you're in there, it's live. There's no hand holding. The record counts, the season's on, you know, you're facing other teams' best, and then you're facing a firestorm from the media and questions. And we think, you know, these guys think it's tough now. Just wait till they get in season if they're in there during preparation. So they have to do everything they can in the meeting rooms, guys, and in the playbook to get themselves prepared.
John Greco joining us here on the Fan Hotline. So what should we do with Kenny Pickett now? Because he's kind of injured. He's kind of the odd man out, but they traded for him, and they seem to really like him. Boy, they've talked him up. What do you do?
Yeah, and I don't know. I really don't know. And, you know, I guess they're hoping it would be silly to trade him away again. I don't know if there's value there, if they can get back what they got. It's just such a sticky situation and messy. And do they go four quarterbacks? Maybe. I don't know.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
But when he comes back, if all things were equal and he was healthy and you know, playing well in these practices and in these preseason games and getting opportunities, if he would even play in the preseason, who knows? But at least putting a little bit of pressure on Joe Flacco, then the team can decide, well, what do we do here? Is this the guy that can give us our best option, you know, in these early parts of the season? There's just so much unknown because of his injury. And if you keep him around and that hamstring lingers or another injury lingers, then what? Then they're stuck. So he really is odd man out right now, and I hate to say that, and I hate to admit that, because I know the organization loves him so much and wanted him to be in there to succeed. And, you know, I've talked to some of the veterans, and they like his presence, and they like what he brings to the table and some of his mobility, which obviously an injured hamstring kind of limits that. But his focus, his preparation, I heard nothing but good things. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's about production, which you see on the field. So if he's not out there, that's the big question mark. So I don't know. I don't know that answer.
John Greco with us on the hotline. What did you think of the performance of Dillon Gabriel? It seems like, depending on who you ask, you get very different opinions on that first game.
Yeah, you know, Anthony, I try not to overreact one way or another with the good or the bad. And it's funny because, you know, Shador plays the week before. Everybody's ready to crown him the king and the starter. And, oh, my God, everyone was breathing a sigh of relief. And I think that was – I'm kind of in that camp where I'm like, okay, there's a reason why Kevin Stefanski likes this kid so much. There's a reason why he started so many games. And I'll really echo a lot of the things I said about Shador's performance against Carolina. You know, he stood in there. He was poised. He was quick with his releases. Now, did he make a mistake here and there? Of course. It's preseason. He's a rookie. But he was poised. He looked like he knew how to execute the offense. There was no hiccups. I didn't see a whole lot of pre-snap penalties and mistakes and a lot of those things that we talked about last week on your show. So really, he put together a performance that I think a lot of doubters and a lot of the people that had question marks and were beginning to think, oh, my God, what's going to happen with this guy now? What do we do? What a mistake. Where are we at with this? Now I think they can say, okay, you know, let's take a step back and not try to overreact. It's going to be a long season. This guy's going to be here. Everybody needs to just accept that and focus on that. And let's see how he develops. Let's see how he continues to build on one good preseason game. Because, guys, we all know it's the preseason. Let's not overreact one way or another. He's facing some good players that are going to be on, you know, the Eagles roster. But a lot of these guys are going to be looking for other jobs. So I want to see how he continues to develop, how he improves day in and day out. And like we just said, that's a lot of mental stuff. And then when he gets his opportunity, and whenever that is, none of us know. I don't have a crystal ball. Let's see how he looks.
Did you have a take on the interception, the pick six? You had two receivers in a similar spot, neither even attempt to make a play on the football. Did you put that squarely on the quarterback?
Anthony, it's tough for me to assess that without...
Well, fans do it. They're doing it very easily. Come on, John.
Yeah, I get that. And that's fans' jobs. That's our jobs as fans to do that. But no, I'm sure in the film room, maybe a depth was wrong on the route. I don't know. Maybe the ball was put. It's hard to just put that sole blame on him, which I'm sure I didn't listen to his comments about it, but I'm sure he accepted the blame. I could tell you that much. But I can't sit here and say, oh yeah. And even if it was, it's one bad play. It was terrible. It was, you know, cost a lot of points. But that's going to happen. Every quarterback throws interceptions. So it just thinks that it had to happen with the small amount of work that we're seeing, because then all of the things I was just saying about, well, you know, I could take a step back now and breathe a sigh of relief. And a lot of my concerns are not there anymore. Well, you see that and you're like, oh God, you know, do we have a turnover machine in our midst? So it's a small amount of work. And when you have a blemish like that on the record, I guarantee you in the film room, they're looking at it. They're talking about how he can be a little bit better on that play, make a better decision, make a better throw, run better routes, better protection. You know, it takes all 11 guys. So I'm not ready to sit here and, you know, throw fruit at him because of that play.
You had 7 wins for the Browns 2 weeks ago. I had a boss from my other line of employment very disagreeable with you on that statement. You've watched the Browns in 2 preseason games. Have you changed that number yet?
No. I mean, how could I? I haven't seen half their starters. Okay. And why is everybody so mad that I said – people are mad at me, too. They're like, oh, my God, you have 7 wins. And I'm like, well, who cares? Why are you so angry about me telling you that I think the Browns are going to be better than everybody thinks?
Wait a minute. Danny Cannell was on CBS. He said they could win 9-10 games. It's more than 7.
They're saying that I'm underselling.
I don't know. You know what? They played so well in these past 2 preseason games. I don't know if people know even what to think right now. Browns fever is sweeping the nation, John.
It is, as it should be. This is the beauty about late August football, mid-August football. You see something on, you know, 1 week. We, to your guys' point, you're at practice for 15 minutes. God knows what's going on there. It's a dog and pony show. And then afterwards, behind the scenes, trust me, things are being talked about differently. And when they go out there on Sundays or Saturdays or Fridays or wherever the hell days they play preseason games on now, you see what you see, and they correct it. Trust me, they don't care. They don't give a damn what's being said on the outside. Yes, they have to answer questions about it, but they're ready to roll, and they're trying to get to the final roster to go kick Cincinnati's ass.
Hey, John, real quick. I know you're from Youngstown, and we're around the same age, but you also played in the NFL. You saw the sausages made. What does the Ravens rivalry mean to you? Because they're celebrating their 30th anniversary in their first home game against the Cleveland Browns, which obviously we know that history. But I ask you.
You know, I did not have a lot of success against them, Ken, and you know, that's disappointing. And you guys can, you know, play the world's smallest violin for me. But I just think, you know, I'm very well aware of the history of the whole thing because of all the points you just said, me being from the area, growing up a fan. But I think when you're in those games, playing in those games, a lot of guys come from Florida, California, Texas. They were born in the 90s. God, some 90s, I'm dating myself, the 2000s. They don't care about the history of that. And you try to say how important it was. And same thing with the Steelers. But any time you're playing a divisional foe, especially on the road, things are ratcheted up even more. And I used to love going on the road. I feel like, in a weird way, I won more games outside of the stadium than I did in Cleveland. Getting a road win, especially a divisional road win, is like winning two games. So that's kind of my thoughts about it. I think that's a fun stadium to play in, especially at night. And when I played, you know, you had Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and a lot of the Joe Flacco. And you had a lot of the guys that are going to be in their Ring of Fame and so a lot of guys that are in the NFL Hall of Fame. And it's just a different thing. They won the Super Bowl. It's just a different organization. A different team. I love getting wins against them.
John, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, brother. All the best.
It's always fun, guys. See you next week.
John Greco on the Fan Hotline.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.